time for Garden Talk, heard Thursdays during Soundwaves. Joining us are Master Gardener Mardell Gunn and Master Gardener Rob Goldberg.
Good morning. Good
morning.
It's not very good garden weather out there today. I've been online looking at greenhouse stuff, and so that's what I'm doing in my winter garden world. But
it's a good time of year to order fruit trees.
It is. And so that's what we have today. We have Rob Goldberg on with us today to talk about fruit trees. We've gotten quite a few questions about fruit trees, and I say, I have no idea. Let's get somebody who does know. And I consider Rob certainly to be the expert in our community about this. And so speaking of greenhouses, let's get it out there right away that Rob has done something that I don't know of anybody else in this community that's done, is he's put a greenhouse up for his fruit trees. Is that correct?
Right. About 6 years ago, I built a big greenhouse and put a couple dozen dwarf and semi-dwarf fruit trees in it, and it's doing spectacularly well.
How tall is this greenhouse?
It's 16 feet high at the peak. 24 feet wide, 48 feet long, and 16 feet high at the peak.
And so because these are dwarf trees, they probably will not top this out. You're not going to have to trim them?
I have to prune every spring.
You do, which you're going to do anyway.
Some of the ones that were supposed to only grow to 12 feet, they like it in there so much that they want to grow right through the roof.
Wow.
So I have to keep them pruned.
Hmm. So this was a good idea? Would you recommend it to somebody else?
If they want to do trees. It's working really well because what it's done is it has extended my season for almost a month on either end. Mm-hmm. And on a sunny day, I get about a 25 degree gain in temperature in there. And so the trees think that they're in eastern Washington.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the fruit is bigger, it's sweeter, and I can protect the trees from all sorts of pests and things that can go wrong that we'll talk about soon.
Right, yeah. So what trees do you have in there? And I guess in general, because we know not everybody's going to have a greenhouse, what trees grow, what fruit trees produce fruit here? What fruit trees produce fruit?
Yeah, in order of easy to hard, I would say the easiest trees to get fruit are pie cherries.
Mm-hmm.
And the next would be sweet cherries. And then apples. And those three are pretty reliable every year. Beyond that, if you really want to get adventuresome, you can try plums and pears. And I know that there's one little apricot tree in the fort.
Yeah, I've heard that.
But I have not had success with them out where I am.
Mm-hmm. Do they get apricots on this one in town?
I think so.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So it is possible.
In some years.
Mm-hmm.
It takes
mm-hmm.
a warm summer, and the weather has to be really good during the pollinating time
mm-hmm.
for good fruit success here.
Mm-hmm. So let's stick with the trees. So do you have some favorite varieties, especially of those three or four that you're saying are the easiest to grow of? So sour cherries, that I don't know, they're just all over.
Okay, let's start with those.
Okay.
Well, I should preface this first by saying that it's very difficult to grow fruit trees here. Because we have a short, cool summer, and some summers we don't have a lot of sun. One of the end products of photosynthesis is sugar. And if you don't have sun,
you don't get
sugar in your fruit. And there have been some years where it's been so cloudy that even the sweet cherries, which are usually really good, have just been dull because there's no sugar in them.
Mm-hmm.
They're just watery.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to have a tree that's going to be able to ripen in a short, cool summer. And the pie cherries, legend has it that the Russians brought the pie cherries to Sitka, and that those trees in Sitka have now been distributed throughout Southeast.
Hmm.
And the kind of magical thing about the pie cherry trees is that they send up suckers from the roots.
Right.
And you can just dig up those suckers and transplant them into your yard, and if you take care of it properly, it'll grow into a tree. If you don't take care of it, it grows into a jungle.
Right, yes.
Because they mm-hmm. have a tendency to get really shrubby and overgrown, and they'll send up more suckers, and pretty soon you'll end up with a jungle.
Looks like an alder forest.
Of a cherry thicket mm-hmm. rather than a cherry tree. But if you prune it properly, you will end up with a nice tree. And
that's probably then the best bet, because those are set for our climate.
That's the best bet. And the other nice thing about it is that it's self-fertile. It pollinates itself.
Okay.
And so you don't need a second variety for pollination, as you do with most of the sweet cherry trees. Mm-hmm. You can also order one from a catalog. The company I like to use is called Rain Tree Nursery. They're down in Washington State, and they have a lot of varieties that'll ripen in our climate. And they have a website, raintreenursery.com. And I've been ordering for 30 years, I've been ordering trees from them. The pie cherries, if you look in the catalog, there's a variety called Montmorency. And that's the pie cherry. The difference is that if you order from the catalog, you'll get a grafted tree. It'll be on a different rootstock, and it won't send up suckers.
So if you don't
want to have to deal with the suckers coming up in your lawn or your garden, then you can order a grafted tree, Montmorency, from the catalog.
Mm-hmm. That would be the advantage of ordering then. But
right. Yeah. And the thing about fruit trees is you have to plant them in the sunniest possible spot. You need to put them where they're going to get the maximum amount of sun that they can possibly get. And I learned that the hard way, because our yard is pretty much just a small clearing in the forest, and we don't have sun from the time it comes up to the time it goes down. Whereas people in the fort, like Fred Shields, has an exemplary mm-hmm. orchard and garden in his yard. And
he has sun all day long.
And sun all day mm-hmm. long. And he does wonderfully mm-hmm. there with his mm-hmm. trees.
Okay. So the moral of that story is, if you're in doubt, you need to probably cut some trees down if you're going to get good
right.
fruit.
Or if you're in a shady spot, you're not going to have success with fruit trees. They mm-hmm. have to be in the sun.
Okay.
And so the pie cherries, pretty much every year, produced reliably.
Mm-hmm.
They're great. The next easiest would be sweet cherries.
Okay. What varieties
and
of those do you recommend?
I have quite a few varieties. The ones that seem to do the best are the standard supermarket varieties, Bing and Rainier.
Wow.
Yeah, they do well.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about sweet cherries is you need to have a second variety for pollinating. There are a couple of varieties that are self-fertile. One of them is called Stella. But even with the self-fertile ones, they'll do better with another variety for pollination.
And I know that to be true, because we have a sweet cherry tree on our place on Cemetery Hill, and it's been there for years and years.
It's lonely.
It's very lonely. It doesn't ever produce any fruit because it doesn't have another tree.
Right. And pollination mm-hmm. here is difficult, too, because we don't have wild honeybees.
Mm.
We rely mostly on the native bumblebees, and sometimes there are a lot of bumblebees in the spring, and sometimes there are none. And bumblebees have a very interesting life history. The queens are solitary. They'll winter in the ground in little holes that are made by voles and mice, and they have kind of a tenuous existence over the winter, and some winters when there's not much snow cover and it gets very cold, they'll be killed. Or if there's a lot of rain and then it freezes
mm-hmm.
solid,
yep.
their little holes can get flooded and freeze. And so
no bumblebees, no fruit then.
Right. Well, there are some other pollinators. In some years I've seen a small wasp that looks like a small honeybee. It has pollen baskets on the hind legs,
mm-hmm.
But it's actually a wasp. And there are some other small flies that I've seen on my trees. But if the weather isn't good when the blossoms are open, then you can get very poor pollination.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the sweet cherries will bloom first. And sometimes the weather has not been good during the sweet cherry bloom. But then a week later, the pie cherries will open up and the weather will turn nice in May. And I'll get good pollination on my pie cherries.
Mm-hmm.
And then the apples open a week later, and depending on what the weather is doing, I might get really good pollination or really poor pollination.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a rainy week, it's hard to get good pollination.
And this is generally in May that the pollination happens, or when?
I've noticed the pollination time has, the bloom time is coming earlier in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Things are changing. We're getting an earlier spring. We're getting a later fall. The blooming has come a little bit earlier in the spring,
but
generally it's in May.
And that's the time of year that we have the most dry weather, so the best chance, of course, that we're going to get good pollination.
Okay. Yeah. So that's sweet cherries.
Okay, what about apples?
Apples, as we can see around town, apples have been grown here for a long time. Anway, some of his trees are still around, like the one at the museum is a spectacular tree. And the tried and true variety here is a yellow transparent. Mm-hmm. There's a variety that we have that's an improved yellow transparent called Lodi that does pretty well.
How is it improved? In the taste or in the...
I think the apples are bigger.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they're a little firmer.
Mm-hmm.
The apples that will grow here most easily are soft apples.
Yeah.
They're really good for applesauce and pies.
They're not the crunchy.
Not great for eating fresh off the tree, unless, you know, you can get them right off the tree, but they don't keep very well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There are some varieties that have been developed now that take a little bit longer to ripen, but they're much better keepers and they're sweeter apples.
And what are those?
There's one called William's Pride, which I've had success with. And then there's another one called Zestar, which I also like.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But that's been my experience, is that the apples here can be tasty and all of that, but they're not what, you know, we think of a Fuji or something
right.
like that. You know?
Yeah, those apples take longer to ripen.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, the longer into the fall that an apple can stay on the tree, the better keeper it is.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And plums and pears are, most years are wishful thinking. some years we've had really good plum crops, but it takes perfect pollination in the spring, and then it takes a very warm, dry summer.
And are plums then in their pollination, are they after the apples, or are they kind of in that, are they pollinating with the cherries?
They're in the mix. They bloom about with the sweet cherries.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And growing fruit trees, it's definitely an optimist's game. You have to be optimistic that you're going to get fruit. And you look in the catalog and you see the beautiful pictures and you think, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful? But you can't just put the tree in the ground and walk away and hope that it's going to bear fruit. For one thing, it takes a lot of patience, because most of the trees take at least 3 to 5 years to start producing blossoms and fruit.
Mm-hmm.
They have to mature. And you have to take care of them. There are so many things here that can ruin your trees.
Mm-hmm. And we are going to talk about that in another show, because that's a whole nother thing to talk about, the pests and all of that. So we will talk about that. But so, yeah, I mean, I've said that if I would have planted my trees 15 years ago, like I was started talking about, we'd be maybe getting fruit now. But so
the best time to plant fruit trees is 5 years ago.
Yes, right.
And the second best time is this spring.
Right. So in the spring is the time to plant.
Yes.
In general,
if you order trees from a catalog, they will come in April, and what you will get is a dormant bare root tree. Usually it just looks like a stick with roots on it, and there will be planting instructions in with the tree. It's very important to put it in a good place and then plant it so that the graft is at least a couple of inches above the ground. And they used to recommend that you amend the soil with compost or manure when you put the tree in, but now they're saying, no, don't do that.
Mm-hmm, that's what I've been hearing.
Just dig a hole. Put the tree in, and then they feed from the top. And what I do is I put leaves from alders and birch trees and seaweed around the base of the tree, not right up against the trunk, but around the tree, and that'll break down and feed the tree.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's what I use for fertilizer.
Okay. Well, yeah, there's lots more we can talk about. And so we will, in another show, we will get into the nitty-gritty of specifics of planting and some of the, I know that people need guidance of what do you do to protect these trees, because there's lots of critters out there that want to get them.
Right, so. And not only critters, weather too.
And weather, that's right. So okay, we've got lots more to talk about, but it's a start to talk about fruit trees. So,
thank you both so much.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Wow, yeah. I'm just levitating from all this wonderful information.
Ready to go out and get some fruit trees?
Yeah, wow, what a beautiful story. Thank you, Rob Goldberg, Mardell Gunn.
Yep. One thing I will say before we go is that Rob has written some of this stuff down. And the access to this would be?
Well, I have a little guide to growing fruit trees in Haines that I wrote years ago. It needs updating. Darren Snyder, the cooperative extension guy, has put it on his website. So okay. I think it's still available there. I really need to update it and put in all the data that I've gathered from my greenhouse growing. And I can send people a copy.
Right. So you could write to KHNS gardens@khns.org, mm-hmm. and we can make sure you get it, or go and search for it. It's out there. Yeah. Get it at the Cooperative Extension.
My wish is that the local public libraries would carry this info as well in their research departments. Well, thank you again.
You're welcome.
Our time flies by.
It does.
Yeah. Okay. Mardell Gunn and Rob Goldberg, Master Gardeners.
Happy gardening.
From Haines, Alaska.